you Blake.
Well, now, that's fine stuff for the company, ain't you, Mona?
Sure. That's it, come quick. You're shot. You were right. You were hit and fell anywhere.
I'm fine, Kuragi. I'm fine. Ah, go fetch one bottle of rum. Come along, Mona.
You go along, Mona. I'll help the trouble catch him by. Wait here.
Wait.
Treated me right, that's enough.
You
have no respect for the position the rest of us here must maintain. You disgrace us in the eyes of every native on this island.
Well, I'm impressed. Didn't know I was that important to speak. Thank you.
as it follows, the killer became a sodden lump of flesh preserved in alcohol. He did not smile, nor dance, nor exhibit any of the amiable eccentricities that sometimes recommend a drunken to a certain toleration. He was a brute, and he behaved like a brute. But all the time, waiting for the day the ship would arrive, Karate remained true, and showered more devotion than ever upon his friend. He spent his evening down by Michael Howell's bar, fixing the wings of telling to get drunk enough to take a long home. Night after night, Karate winked, while the white man stood glorying.
Thank you. got no boat.
Me find a boat. Me hide a good friend, fella.
All right, I trust you. But hurry, man.
Helen waited in terror in the shack on the beach while Taraki broke into the boat shed. And with an axe, smashed the bottoms out of the three craft sheltered there. Then he opened the trade room and quickly gathered together a big bundle of supplies, including a Winchester rifle and a box of cartridges. Next, he carried everything out onto the beach and loaded it into a stout outrigger canoe that belonged to Mr. Mummery. Finally, he fetched pellets from the shack, and together they hurriedly launched the canoe in the lagoon. Karaki rigged the big mat sail and then paddled out into the breeze just beyond the harbor entrance.
Wait a minute, Karaki. Listen.
Yes?
Where are we headed for, anyway? What island we go, Karaki?
Bougainville.
Bougainville. You crazy? That's 800 miles from here.
All the same, we go. My home.
800 miles.
We go. All fine. Always one bring you along my home.
All right, Karaki. I don't know why you're doing this, Mommy. I'll see you through.
The beginning of a very pleasant voyage in which Chris was held. The fear of being captured and hanged was great enough, but added to it were the horrors brought on once more by the lack of alcohol. The first night he was too seasick for care, but by morning he was raging.
Rocky, I gotta have rum. Give me rum, you blessed
heathen. Oh, no more kind of rum.
Are you a bloody fool? Why didn't you back into rum?
No more need of water. No need to rum. Got plenty of water.
Curse you, Karaki. I don't drink water.
More better. You drink water.
Well, I won't drink water. Karaki, turn back, please. I'll take hanging to this. Turn back, I say.
You're sure catching one big fellow in. Throw straight to the of you.
No. How could you find Bougainville anyway? No. Please. I'm going back.
Yes, yes.
No. What? More better. You rest.
Karaki easily tied the weakened white man hand and foot and continued to sail off into the open sea. Now and then he threw a dipperful of seawater over the white man and occasionally fed him a coconut milk. Karaki was an excellent nurse. He even combed Pellet's red hair and whiskers twice every day. By the time they reached the Santa Cruz region, Pellet's condition had improved as Karaki released him. They were now in an area peppered with tiny islands. Karaki decided to land on the lee of one in order to replenish their water supply. He dropped sail and was paddling slowly in the sea when suddenly, from out of nowhere, a cutter carrying two white men appeared behind him. One of the men signaled for the canoe to stop and surrender, but Karaki had other ideas.
Look, Captain Karaki, you better go away!
Put the gun down, Karaki. We're in no trouble now.
Okay, I shoot!
White men, believe a naked, were there and for their mistake. 800 deficit supplies showed at 1,000 high upon the beach. A few minutes after, Pellet heard a gentle footstep behind him and turned to find Kurati standing there with the rifle at his hip and the axe.
Yeah, me like too. Great place you have, Kurati.
Me like a kid.
Huh? Oh, well, me like a mule too, Kurati. We big fellow friends, right?
Me like it too much. One fellow had belonged to you.
Huh? What do you mean? I don't understand.
Red hair. Fine red whisker. Big prize here. Smoke him here. Take him, Kurati. Big man on island.
you mean you... You got my head?
Fine head. Very fine head. Cut him off now.
That was the way of it. That was all the mystery. In Karagi's country, a white man's head well smoked was indeed a prize. But that of Mr. Christopher Kelly with his precious red whiskers was a thing to be desired above the loves of women. And the simple, patient, enduring Karagi has served hard to win him. And did it really matter to tell it how or why he died, since his own race would have hanged him for murder anyway?